Welcome everyone to this week's W3C CCG meeting. So this week, we're excited to have the author of the paper, Nemonymity, paper Neuron from MIT here to actually talk about her paper. So the paper, Mitigating Barriers to Public Social Interactions with Neuronymous Communications, actually gathered quite a bit of conversations about a month ago. So there was quite a bit of emails on two or three email threads. So very excited to actually have the opportunity to invite her to talk about her paper and then hopefully have further discussions around the topic of neuronymity. Before we start, just want to quickly do a quick reminder on the code of ethics and professional conduct. Just want to make sure that we continue to have respectful and constructive conversations. A quick note on the intellectual property. Anyone can participate in these calls. However, all substantive contributions to any CCG work items must be the member of the CCG with full IPR agreement signed. So if you have any questions in regards to getting a W3C account or the W3C community contributor license agreement, please feel free to reach out to any of the co-chairs. These meetings are being automatically recorded and transcribed. So we will publish the transcription, the audio and video recording in the next 1 or 2 days. We use GT chat to queue the speakers. So if you have any questions, just type in Q+ to add yourself to the queue or Q- to remove. You can type in Q? To see who is in the queue, and I will be moderating the queue. All right. This is time for the introductions and reintroductions. So if you are new to the community or you haven't been active and want to re-engage, feel free to just unmute and introduce yourself.
Hi there, I'm David Karger. Since you've invited, I'm Neuron's advisor, and I'm joining the call because I'm very interested in Neuronymity and looking forward to this conversation.
Welcome. Welcome, David. Anyone else? And Neuron, maybe I'll ask you to introduce yourself later before your presentation. Mm-hmm. Anyone else for the introductions or reintroductions? All right, announcements and reminders. Any new announcements in regards to events or different papers? Clea, please.
Hey, we have the usual internet identity workshop coming up. Early bird, super early bird registration is open right now. It's October 29th to 31st. And yes, we will have a Halloween party on the last day. And we have the DID on conference Africa happening in South Africa, September 25 to 27. So if you have colleagues based on the continent and particularly in Southern African countries, please let them know about the event. I will put links in to both in the chat.
Thank you. Thanks, Clea. Manu, please.
Hi. I've updated the weekly digest that goes out to the mailing list to include all the work items that the Verifiable Credential Working Group is working on. It is a very long list of specifications at this point. One, two, three. I mean, it's just, yeah, it's ridiculous how long the list is. But you should see updates going out. I'll put the link into IRC, example, update from BCWG. There's a lot of activity going on right now, but I think the general announcement is we are closing in on closing out some of the last issues across all these different specifications. And that's great news. It means that we're pretty much done. I won't say we're done. That's going to take a couple of more months, but when it comes to like changes to the specification, the issues are not coming in at the same rapid clip they were, you know, a year ago. We've been able to address just about everybody's input. So it's just a heads up to the group. Like if you were hoping to get some comments in before we finalized, version 2.0, you should definitely get those comments in now. Because we're, you know, doors closing and all that kind of stuff. We still do need multiple interoperable implementations for all of the specifications. But that is probably what the group's going to very, very rapidly shift focus to. And the second we've got multiple, you know, independent implementations, everyone should expect the group to just start shipping them, as, final, global standards. That's it.
Thank you, Manu. Any other announcements or reminders? Any updates on the work items? By the way, a quick note on the work items. So we will start asking the people to provide work items updates starting in August. So I think Walt and I kind of mentioned that about a month ago, but just wanted a quick reminder. And Will has reached out to different people in regards to different work items. So if the leaders of those work items and initiatives are present, they can provide an update. If not, if other people have know what's going on in those work items, it would be good for them to kind of give a quick overview of what's going on in those work items and progress. Any last calls for the work item updates, announcements, or introductions? All right, let's get to the main agenda. So as mentioned, about a month ago, you know, we had two, three threads around this concept of Marinimity. And a quick note, Marinim is means like a part of a whole, so kind of like an engine is Marinim of a car, for example. And by the way, I did look it up in the dictionary, otherwise I wouldn't have known this. So it is a pretty cool concept, and Marinimity actually kind of allows, right, people in the public space to selectively disclose only relevant and verified aspects of their identity to carry out public discourse. So we had a great conversation around that, and we're very fortunate to actually have the author of the paper, Neuron from MIT, to actually talk about her work. So, Neuron, the floor is yours. If you don't mind, kind of introduce yourself a little bit, and then you know, talk about your paper. And we're very excited to have you here.
Of course, thank you, Harrison. So, my name is Neuron. I'm a PhD student at MIT. I work with David Karger, who is also here in the call, I got distracted by the notifications. I thought the voice is not clear. So I work with David on problems around online spaces and how to make them more safer and more trustworthy. So generally I focus on online trust and safety. And today I would like to talk about, this project around Marinimity, which we managed to publish in, CHI, which is a human computer interaction conference, this year. So, I'm going to share my screen. So I'm going to turn off my video and I'll start sharing my screen.
Thank you. Thank you, Neuron. Sorry to interrupt. Joe, do you have any comments or questions?
I do not. That was a user error. Sorry.
No problem. No problem. Thank you.
So can everybody see my screen?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay. So, the work I want to talk about today is called Mitigating Barriers to Public Social Interaction with Meronymous Communication. Basically in this talk, I'm going to present Meronymity, which is a novel design paradigm we designed based on our formative study. And then I will talk about the evaluation of this in a system that we built named Litweature to incorporate the Meronymity framework. So to start, if we look at online public spaces, we will see like how they transformed public engagement by bringing people together in these spaces where they can discuss and exchange personalized information based on their specific needs and experiences. So you'd find that on like so many different platforms like Reddit, Facebook, Goodreads, and so on and so forth. However, there are a lot of social barriers that arise in these online communities. These barriers are usually around self-image, like fearing to look stupid or burdening others, or a part of it is about self-image and the other part is about consumption of your social capital. Like, as I said, burdening others or having to reciprocate the obligation back and so on and so forth, which usually discourages a lot of people from engagement despite the perceived benefits behind these interactions. For example, you might have seen like similar experiences in online spaces around academic Twitter, where like people post things asking for papers or kind of sharing their papers and so on and so forth. So we were interested to look at academia specifically in this project, and because of its interesting structure. So if you take a closer look in academia, it's very hierarchical and it has a lot of rampant notions of status and prestige coming from specific institutions, which kind of creates a lot of potential professional risks and competition in, that are reflected in these online spaces. And although these dynamics are prominent in academia, there is a growing number of academics that are drawn to social networking platforms like academic Twitter, for example, for the visibility this offers to the research as well as the authors. So we see a lot of people like tweeting about their papers and so on and so forth. And previous work has also shown that there is increased visibility and also like when using these platforms, and also it helps researchers kind of construct a professional identity online. But despite these benefits of the public scholarly engagement, similar barriers arise. So, for example, rising juniors often fear the impact of their public engagement on their career progression due to like the high stakes that are attributed with such engagement, because it's career related and it's going to reflect on them forever. So in the professional community, which usually makes them deter from engagement. And therefore these communities become dominated by senior voices and also, becomes imbalanced in terms of like gender or other minority groups. So in this work, we particularly focus on online communities for academics as our test bed. But the first question we looked into is, in a general context, what are the previous solutions for addressing these social barriers? So one obvious solution is anonymity. So anonymizing one's identity introduces social inhibition that helps users overcome a lot of these social pressures online. However, it still motivates toxic behaviors, it also which as a result demotivates engagement, and also obscures a lot of the social context around the interaction. There is another solution, which is pseudonymity. So you use a persistent synonym to engage, such as spaces like Reddit. Although this kind of provides a degree of privacy and a sense of accountability, there is still a problem where it's very hard to escape negative reputations or hide information from previous interactions, which basically leads to self-censoring and, or like in some occasions, the creation of throwaway accounts where people like use the account for one, for a one-time thing, and then they just like throw it away. So the question we were asking is, how do we balance between the credibility and context of full identity disclosure and the privacy and protection of anonymity? And this is where Mironymity comes. So basically, the fundamental idea behind Mironymity here is that users can reveal specific aspects about who they are with every interaction. And it comes from Mero, which in Greek means partial, and Nym is name, so it's kind of partial anonymity. So, for example, if I am publicly asking the academic community about paper recommendations, let's say on a space like Twitter, and I'm concerned about doing this from my personal account with my name attached. So the idea there is that, okay, I can do this by hiding my identity, but instead of saying that I'm an anonymous poster, I can reveal some information about myself. So for example, my seniority level, saying that I'm a junior researcher, for example, or my affiliation, saying that I have worked before or still working at some university, or maybe a combination of all of those, or my network of co-authors or other signals in my background. So this kind of gives the audience a better sense of the poster's identity, making the interaction feel more realistic and less random, while providing context around the interaction. So the first step we did is we ran a formative study with 20 scholars in order to better understand the nature and challenges of online scholarly communication in general, and also in help seeking context, such as asking for or providing research paper recommendations. And participants confirmed their perception of these professional interactions as high stakes, which a lot of the time stops them from engaging with the community and asking for help. Most participants, in fact, expressed their fear to be judged as ignorant or stupid or needy, even though they know the value of asking for paper recommendations in these spaces, and how they consider papers they find there as like collective wisdom. There was also a clear preference for knowing some signal about who they are interacting with instead of complete anonymity. Like a lot of participants stated that they are unlikely to engage with random questions from anonymous people. So in general, the results emphasize the existing social barrier in these spaces and the potential for Mironymity as an effective solution. So we used insights from our study to support the design of our Mironymity framework. And then we built a system named Litweecher on top of Twitter and Mastodon that incorporates this model. So next, I'm going to present our Mironymity framework and Litweecher by walking you through a user scenario about a researcher who asks for paper recommendations. And we were particularly interested in this use case of asking about research paper recommendations because in our formative study, we found that it has a high value for scholars and also there are a lot of social challenges around the help-seeking part of this interaction. So this is Alice. Alice is a junior student who works in AI, and Alice wants to explore the literature for a new project. But then Alice remembers coming across high-quality recommendations on Twitter and decides to ask the AI community on Twitter. However, she doesn't want to look stupid or ignorant, and she feels anxious about doing that publicly. So Alice decides to sign up to Litweature, which supports Mironymous interactions on Twitter and on Mastodon. So basically on sign up, Alice has to link her claimed author profile on Semantic Scholar and her Twitter account to Litweature in order to verify her identity. So the system then uses Alice's publication history and Twitter network to compute verified identity descriptors about Alice that can be used to compose Mironyms when posting her questions. But then, since Alice is a junior, she doesn't have much publication history, so she adds Mark as her endorser through the Litweature, which means she can leverage Mark's reputation to present her identity mironymously by using Mark's identity signals along with hers. So, for example, she can present herself as someone who is endorsed by Mark. So Mark then gets Alice's request. He then signs up to Litweature again with a claimed author profile. So the process of claiming an author profile on Semantic Scholar, you sign up there. It's maybe a couple of days. Sometimes it's quicker where they have like a rigorous verification process that I think is done by humans involved. And then basically once your profile is claimed, you're able to sign up to Litweature. And then also you So Mark has to do that as well. And then he also provides his Twitter account. And then he accepts Alice's request, indicating advisor as the relationship. And then Alice now can compose her question, select and mix and match identity signals about herself as or her endorser to present her identity. So it looks something like that. So basically, now Alice has her question posted on her behalf, so on Twitter and Mastodon through Litweature on a dedicated Litweature page with her Mironymous identity. So at the top, there is the question, and then following is the identity, and because of the Twitter character limit, the identity is posted in another tweet in the same thread. But now, how will relevant experts come across the request? So Alice can actually add experts to her request through the Litweature, who are people she thinks are best suited to answer her question. So Alice decides to add an AI expert, Rita, to her request. And on adding an expert on the Litweature, the system tries to figure out relationship signals between the expert and the asker, so Rita and Alice, and the expert and the endorser, Rita and Mark. So Alice remembers that Rita collaborated before with her endorser, Mark, so she decides to disclose this connection to Rita. So basically, Alice can privately disclose this to Rita through email or direct messaging. So for example, Alice can disclose to Rita that she is someone endorsed by Mark, who basically worked with Rita before. And that, let's say, she follows Rita on Twitter and vice versa. So basically, she can privately disclose more relationship signals, specifically, to each expert. And then Rita receives the message. She quickly recognizes the connection of the asker to her dear collaborator, Mark, and that the asker is a junior student from the community who she follows on Twitter. So she feels compelled answering the question on Twitter from her personal account. So it looks like it will look something like that. So now Rita commented on the same thread. But then now some experts will be able to see the question, but how will more people from the community come across the post? Since like the questions get posted to dedicated LitTweeter pages on Twitter and on Mastodon. So maybe relevant people do not follow LitTweeter. So how do we increase the visibility of something of these questions? So for that, we introduce the helper. So Alice adds Dave, her friend, as her helper. So basically a helper in LitTweeter is someone who is motivated to help their colleagues that the poster trusts. And basically the helper receives a private request from the asker through email or direct messaging, with the full identity of the asker disclosed. So the idea here is that this is your friend. They're motivated to help you, and they kind of retweet or reshare the content you posted to their networks in order to basically increase the visibility. And for that, we kind of disclose the identity fully privately, in order to basically provide this motivation of helping colleagues or friends in answering questions. So kind of leveraging the idea of social capital in an academic context. And that's why it's kind of like, oh, these are like the colleagues, the close relationships. So in this scenario, Dave receives a message saying, your friend Alice is asking you to reshare her Mironymous question to your network. So publicly, the question is Mironymous, but privately, Dave knows that Alice asked this question. And then, again, Dave feels motivated to support his friend by retweeting her question with a word of endorsement. So now more people can see the question, and through LitTweeter, actually, users who come across the post can also contribute to threads Mironymously in a similar manner as described before. So basically, in this example, the last tweet in the thread is an example of a user who provided a paper recommendation through LitTweeter and chose to describe themselves as a junior student. And, of course, for that, responses have to be moderated by Alice before they get posted and broadcasted to both threads on Twitter and on Mastodon. So now Alice feels happy and validated that her questions received engagement, likes, and responses. So how do we evaluate that? So our evaluation aimed to explore how participants interacted with the key features of LitTweeter for seeking paper recommendations compared to their usual approaches. We also wanted to gain insights into how they interacted with identities. So we deployed the LitTweeter in a 1 month within subjects longitudinal field study. So basically we asked participants to ask for paper recommendations using the LitTweeter versus any other method of their choice. So on sign up, participants were randomly assigned to one condition. And then after 2 weeks, we switched the condition. And basically the two conditions, one is ask a question and provide a paper recommendation using LitTweeter each week. And the baseline is basically just asking a question using regular methods that they would feel like using. We then use the data from surveys. So at the end of each weekly task, we ask participants to fill a reflection survey. And at the very end of the study, we interview participants to kind of gain more qualitative insights around their experience. So we used results from surveys, interviews, also action logs and task entries in our data analysis. So I'm going to describe some of the results, but you can like refer to the paper for more detailed discussion. So first of all, our results show that participants felt really comfortable reaching out to experts they would normally be intimidated by while wearing a little bit of a mask using the feature, with evidence on contacting more experts they don't have an existing relationship with, unlike the baseline condition. So in the baseline condition, actually, participants never reached out to someone they haven't talked to before, or they don't have a strong relationship with. But in the Twitcher condition, that actually happened, that there were more participants reaching out to people they've never talked to before, or people they work on a similar line of work, but they don't have a relationship with. And in a lot of cases, this actually yielded more novel paper recommendations. The other big result is participants also strategically revealed certain aspects about their identity in order to balance between credibility and also express their relevant experience while maintaining their anonymity when asking questions. So you can see the quotes on the screen where one participant said, oh, this provides a good balance between anonymity while also showing people that me and my endorser have the relevant experience in the field and that we are part of the community. A number of participants really liked the idea of having an endorser where they can actually kind of show that they're, oh, we're really part of this community, we were credible, we're really serious about our questions. Marinimity also provided context to participants when answering a question. So one participant actually mentioned how they tried to tailor the response by providing Chi papers to the asker when the asker mentioned that they published before at Chi. So basically kind of giving context on what kind of asker or why the asker is asking this question in which context. And this was also interestingly reflected as well when people were providing answers. So, for example, when someone was providing a paper recommendation and they felt like very confident about this recommendation, they would most of the time signal their publication history in prestigious conferences or maybe their affiliation, something that kind of indicates expertise, versus like if they know of something relevant, but they don't think it's the best recommendation, they usually try to signal that by just sharing very basic signals, things like, oh, I'm a junior student, things like that. So also kind of like signaling the experience. And this was also reflected in how they perceived the recommendations as well. Like if it's from a junior student, it's usually received differently, different from like if a senior student or someone who has knowledge in the field provided that recommendation. So although our results have shown great potential for marinimity, there are still risks to be taken into consideration, such as calibrating the social pressure. So the idea there is, we don't want the teacher to make it too easy to ask questions and burden others. So it's really important to think of ways to kind of make it hard enough to mitigate the social pressure and yet kind of do some amount of effort in order to ask questions. The other risk is the possibility of de-anonymizing individuals if the identifiers are very unique. So for that, we actually provided askers with the flexibility to mix and match whatever identity they would like to reveal. Participants were generally aware of this idea. Some were really more cautious than others. More cautious participants tended to reveal very minimal signals, but yet still relevant, while other participants at the end of the other spectrum is basically felt, well, I don't mind if actually someone tries to do the work and de-anonymizes me. I just don't want my name to be in there. So there is that, variability. And also some participants felt more comfortable revealing more signals about themselves the longer they use literature. So it's kind of like a problem of getting adjusted and trusting the system. The third concern is the idea of the rich getting richer effect, where the most connected people would receive most of the attention. So if I say that my endorser is amazing and I have all this experience, maybe this gets my questions more answered. And for that, we think that it's really important to try to also create more inclusive signals. So signals that highlight if someone belongs to a minority group, or maybe more signals about people or gender or and so on and so forth, and kind of help askers provide more relevant details that could motivate the community to support these groups. We haven't implemented that, but we think this is a really promising direction, which also raises a question of how do we verify these claims? There are also interesting directions in improving merinimity in terms of combining merinimity with pseudonymity. So basically, someone can combine a bunch of signals to create a persona and then use this persona to build reputation. So basically you would have different merinims and with each merinim, different reputations. So we think this could be really interesting, to try. And then, finally, something that I'm, currently actually trying to pursue is broadening the application of merinimity to other use cases, outside of academia. Actually inside and outside, but I'm very interested to think about ways to apply merinimity in a more general conversation that is sensitive in a professional organization or workspace such as the MIT campus. And how do we incorporate that? What kind of signals do we use there, and how do we verify these signals? And also on the other side, if this is going to be a sensitive conversation about contentious topics such as workplace harassment or mental health or other like conflicts in the world, how do we protect the receivers as well? So there is a very central moderation piece here as well that we need to think about. So I guess that's kind of the end of my talk. I'm going to leave this up here with like the takeaways from the talk, and thank you for listening, and I'd love to receive questions or feedback.
Great. Greg, you're in the queue.
Sorry, that was unintentional.
Got it. No problem. Manu, please.
Hey, Niran. This is wonderful work. Really fantastic. The paper is really great as well. Mm-hmm. And I've got a lots of questions. I think the most specific one is, you know, this is we are a community that works on global standards for the web and the internet. There are a number of us that work on, you know, verifiable credentials, which would be a way of expressing Marinims to, systems, in a decentralized way, like I'm a student at this location, or I have, you know, a connection with this, individual, the helpers and, you know, those types of roles and links you were talking about, are suited for, you know, this verifiable credential technology. There are a number of us that also participate in global standards work around, social networking standards. So things like ActivityPub, which powers Mastodon and Threads and that sort of thing. I guess the question for you is, I heard you saying these are things that you would like to look into. I'm wondering if you're also considering places that you feel like some of these concepts could be deployed into. Like, we could take some of these concepts, you feel that they're stable enough now where we could start moving them into some global standards around social networking protocols. Do you feel like the research is kind of at that stage yet? And if so, are you already working with people to do that? Or do you have a desire to work with people to do that?
I guess this is really wonderful, kind of shipping something like that out in the wild and collecting data or trying to see how people use it. I'm not working on that with anybody. I'd be very interested to work on that. I don't know if David also has other thoughts around it, but that would be my personal take on that. And in terms of the research being ready for this, I think so, personally, because we kind of try to test that in a realistic environment. So, 1 month study where we got people to try to use it and we talked extensively about the idea. We had them try it and it seems really promising. So, that would be something I'd be really, interested to collaborate on.
David.
Yeah, I'll just throw in a little bit on this question of protocols. I think it's quite interesting. I mean, you asked about, you know, Marinimity is a concept and it's interesting to wonder about the maturity of a concept, right? I'm sure we'll figure out a lot of other things about Marinimity, as we go forward, but that doesn't really preclude thinking about how to introduce it already, right? So if I think about ActivityPub, which is a protocol we're using in some other projects we're working on. You know, Marinimity just raises the general idea of allowing people to make ActivityPub posts that don't specifically identify the author by a clear identity, but instead provide a Marinim within the post. And I think, you know, exactly what the Marinim would be, and how it would be verified are very interesting open questions, but we don't have to wait for a complete maturity of the Marinim concept to be able to think about that basic question of just how to introduce Marinims into ActivityPub posts, which I think would be really natural and conceivably very useful.
By the way, a clarification question. So for the literature, is that a working thing, like that's launched, or is just a prototype?
It was working until Twitter API changed, and right now we took it down. So I might do some engineering and just have it back working with Mastodon, but right now it's down.
Got it.
Yeah, we launched this, I think, 1 week before they made the sudden change to the Twitter API so that you can't really use Twitter for anything anymore. But I think we could, it's only a matter of engineering to get it working with Mastodon again.
Got it. Thank you. Phil, you're next in the queue.
There, am I on now? First of all, great talk and very, very nice to read the paper accompanying it. I'm just curious your perceptions of the degree to which the various decisions that someone needs to make with respect to disclosing their identity introduces friction to the point of interfering with the potential functional outcome that you're seeking. I can see it in the context of this particular use case with particularly high stakes from the academic's point of view in terms of a junior researcher or student even having to or wanting to get feedback from a senior person. And you pointed out that, you know, those, that information is going to be around forever. So how they appear and the way in which they comport themselves in this context carries a lot of weight. I'm just wondering if you have thoughts about it in terms of diminishing the ways in which the friction to make selections over identity disclosure could be reduced so that it is more likely to happen in places where the motivations perhaps are slightly diminished. Thanks.
I'm not sure I understood the question right, but is the question like about the friction between revealing a lot about oneself that it basically interferes with the idea of having things forever on the internet, or
the question really is the motivation for making a selection about what you're going to disclose takes some thought and consideration, and it makes sense that someone will go to the effort to do that really carefully when the stakes are high. It's not clear to me that it would be as likely to happen when you're interested in the feedback and a particular set of outcomes. The stakes may not be so dramatic, and the question is the effort it takes to make those decisions about the balance of what's in the meronymic disclosure component. Matt, you know, what do you have thoughts that you might have to make that effort minimal and yet useful?
Okay. Okay, that's a good question. In terms of effort, I think, like, in this specific study, for example, it was a computed set of signals, that is exactly the same every time people want to interact. So basically they just take time to familiarize themselves with it, and kind of use it again and again. So that kind of helps with this effort, I guess. And what I've seen is that people tend to stick to a number of signals most of the time. So it's like maybe one or two conferences, like they basically built a strategy and try to apply that every time. So I guess I didn't see a lot of effort in composing the identity as much as actually inviting experts and having to think about who has relevant work and so on and so forth. So that's one thing. In terms of making it easier, I mean, things we've been thinking about is, what if we actually provided allow people to just write whatever they want, like in a free form text? Like, would that actually, how would that look like, and how do we verify that? But assuming there is a way to verify these signals, I suppose this could also be a way of not overwhelming users with a lot of signals to pick from. I'll have to think about that more. But generally, this is what comes to my mind, relevant to your question.
I'll mention an interesting or orthogonal. There's actually a lot of work on identity disclosure. But it's interestingly orthogonal. What's usually studied is, the effort involved for people deciding whether to disclose a particular facet of their identity. For example, if they're a member of some marginalized community. So in that work, which has been studied, the identity of the individual is known, but what they wrestle with is the costs and benefits of disclosing some particular facet of their identity.
Marinimity kind of takes that works in the opposite direction. You start by disclosing facets of your identity, and hopefully your actual identity is not disclosed at all. And of course, that's the big risk, is if you disclose too many facets of your identity, it may make you identifiable, and destroy the partial anonymity that you're trying to preserve. And so one of the things that we've talked about is, how our tools can help a user, be confident that they are not disclosing too much. You can imagine, for example, that if somebody generates a Marinimity description of themselves, a platform can actually tell them how many other people also fit that Marinimity description. So that's an example of systems support to help people with this decision-making around the disclosure. But certainly it is a very important topic for thinking about the costs and benefits of these sorts of disclosures and the risks that you are facing in having your true identity disclosed.
Dimitri, you're next.
I want to say thank you for a fantastic presentation and wanted to encourage your investigation and implementation on ActivityPub. So as a co-chair of the social web community group at W3C, where ActivityPub is one of the specifications that we're currently stewarding, we'd love to come have you present and talk to our developers. I think the ActivityPub community in general would be very interested, both in this concept of Marinimity in general and the specific implementation details in terms of verifiable credentials, decentralized identifiers, and so on. So just wanted to applaud that aspect, and then please keep going with that.
We would love to have that conversation, make that presentation. Can you reach out to Neuron to sort of try and move that forward?
I'll make the introduction.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Manu, you're next.
Yeah. Yeah. And in that vein, plus one to that, Dimitri is definitely the right person to talk to about the ActivityPub stuff in the community. There are other groups as well. So ActivityPub feels like something that we could focus on, certainly to try and get this stuff out into protocols. There's also the verifiable credentials working group at W3C, the decentralized identifiers working group that could help with some parts of the technology that could implement Marinims. There's also the Blue Sky folks. I don't know if you're connected with them, but I'm happy to do that connection as well. All this to say, Neuron, David, if you can kind of let us know who, you know, which communities you would like to speak with. There are enough of us on this call to make those introductions and potentially even help move the technical work forward to make that happen. I think we largely need to kind of understand what, you know, both of your interest is, where specifically would you like to see things go? And then based on that, we can figure out, you know, oh, is it more ActivityPub related and, you know, hooking you into that community? Or is it, you know, also verifiable credentials related? Or should we kind of broad brush go against all the Fediverse, you know, projects? That's it. So there's definitely a desire to try and connect both of you with the right people in the ecosystem. I think since we know your email, we can reach out and try to do those connections. That's it.
That would be lovely. I mean, any and all of the above. You know, obviously we're a very low resourced group, but you know, we have an idea that we think could be beneficial. And so if there are things that we can do to advance that idea towards people who can help turn it into a reality, you know, that's very much one of our goals is to improve online discussion generally, and we think that Marinimity can be a part of that. So if you think that there are people who would be interested to hear about it, any different subgroups, we'd be happy to talk to them.
Great. You're next.
I wanted to say on the infrastructure part of things, in the verifiable credential group, we've been working on pseudonyms, unlinkable signatures, and selective disclosure. And these are the kind of things that could be very beneficial to kind of building up the infrastructure. It's a level down, so you have a credential that's selectively disclosed, that's unlinkable. We do worry about an anonymity set kind of things. And some of our requirements go and feed the current work on certain types of signatures going on at the IETF cryptographic group. So if you've got inputs, you're interested in some of these things, we could try and help out on some of that infrastructure stuff. We've got some specs that are getting pretty mature, but and we're focusing on some of these things like pseudonyms at a low level that could be of help. So.
Yeah. That's really great. And Greg, if I could fire a suggestion back, you know, we did this work with the Semantic Scholar team, and our meronyms are generated through, through verification by Semantic Scholar. And I wonder if they would be interested in, sort of providing a more general, credential service of the sort that you mentioned, right? And if you want, to be connected to the, I mean, you can see who our co-authors are who are at Semantic Scholar. But that might be an interesting place to begin that conversation about how to create these, I forget what you called them, but these unlinkable credentials.
Unlinkable, selectively disclosed credentials. We have cryptographic standards that help us do that.
Exactly. So Semantic Scholar might be a good source of those for academics.
By the way, great. Earlier, you gave a presentation on using BBS and zero knowledge proof for pseudonyms. Like, can BBS and zero knowledge proof be used to implement Maryland, basically?
Well, the thing that struck me, one form of our cryptographic pseudonyms, not to be confused with a facing pseudonym, is the fact that you could take credentials from get credentials from multiple places that are anonymous, but then be able to present them that they belong to me, even though they're from different issuers. So the advisor says, yes, I certify this person is my advisee. Then I've got another set from, say, Semantic Scholar. Yes, this person published these papers. We have separate credentials, but then we can go and present them into the meronym system saying, look, these all belong to me. They really are me and such like that, and do that in an unlinkable way, but they're all me and such like that. So yeah, there's some interesting possibilities.
I think there are two ways you want to think about that. Sometimes you want to say they're all me, but sometimes you don't, right? Like sometimes you want to keep a post entirely unlinkable. And, you know, this is a post from somebody who has this meronym, this collection of credentials, but it doesn't want to be associated with any other. The value of a pseudonym is the way it links multiple posts together, and you can assess that they're from the same author, even if you don't know who that author is. So sometimes you would like a meronymous pseudonym, and at other times you want anonymous meronymity.
Yep.
But it sounds like your infrastructure could support both.
Yeah, I gotta understand it enough so that I can get it all the way down to our crypto stuff, but great conversation. We can have more.
Great. Right. We're at time. This is a great presentation. Thank you, Nora. If you don't mind, can you actually share with me or the public group in regards to the link to your presentation?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, great.
I'll email it to you.
Cool. I'll follow up with you as well. So thank you. Yeah, thanks a lot. This is a great presentation. You know, this concludes this week's CCG meeting. And thanks, Nora. Thanks everyone for joining us today.
Thank you. It was great to be here.